Very, very glad to welcome my guest in the studio this morning, Liz Everett. Good morning,
hello,
Liz.
Mandy.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to have you in. Now,
thank you.
The list of credits here: poet, Reiki master, Anusha healer, counsellor.
Yes.
Quite a list, isn't
yeah,
it?
Thanks.
How do we start? Let's start with a bit about you. So
okay.
Tell us, how did you get in, first of all, to Reiki and to Anusha healing? And perhaps you can tell us a little bit about Reiki as well, because I'm
yeah.
sure my listeners don't all know what it's all about.
Okay. Well, it was about 10 years ago, actually. I started basically by doing a counselling course. I didn't know where to start with everything, but I thought it was a good way of starting to help people, because that's what I really felt I needed to do in life.
Yeah.
So I did the counselling course, and it was from that that I met Patsy and Kate, who were my Reiki master teachers. They introduced me to the Reiki, and it was really amazing because I had no idea what it was, and I even went for this workshop not knowing what Reiki was at all, but trusting that it must be something really good. So anyway, I got trained to do the level one, which I really enjoyed, and it was so exciting to do it that I wanted to do each level, and so I ended up doing the level two, three, and finally did the teaching so that I can teach other people.
So what is Reiki? What is it all about?
Okay, well, it's an energy that's all surrounds us. It's a magnetic field of energy, and we basically focus in by channeling the energy. The heat comes through the hands, and it you place your hands over the client, and you work on their major chakras. There's seven major chakras, which are their energy centres. You work along those because it helps to rebalance them. The client will feel a really deep heat coming through, and sometimes a tingling sensation, but it feels very relaxing, very calm.
And is that heat coming from them, or the Reiki master? Or
the Reiki master.
Yeah.
It's coming
Reiki.
Through from the universe and the energy around us, through our hands, to the client.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Do you get good results with people? Do they say that they feel much better after they've had a session?
Yes.
With you?
Everyone's different, but most people sort of sometimes they say, "Oh," because they're not really sure what's happening there. That feels nice and relaxing, and they feel that so often you feel lighter, because you've let go of something that you've been holding, something emotional maybe that's happened to you in the past, and you're not always sure what it is. But quite often they'll say, you know, they feel very relaxed, a bit sleepy, and sometimes a bit emotional,
mm-hmm.
but it's a good thing.
But it's a healing sort
it's
of
very healing.
Thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's not all you do, though, is it? I mean, you counsel people,
yes.
and you're an
Anusha healer.
Anusha healer as well.
It was Patsy and Kate, again, my teachers. They channeled this energy called Anusha healing in 2004. They got all the symbols that came through, which work with specific physical issues. There's things for depression, for cancer, for hopelessness. There's skin disorders, for dyslexia, all sorts. It's really amazing. And we got attuned to that. And it was just amazing. We worked with the symbols on people as well as ourselves to see the effects.
And when you talk about symbols, I'm not sure we know what that
okay.
means. So what
well, it's hard to describe. Well, symbols are drawings basically,
yeah.
but they represent something. They're quite powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like a triangle, for instance, but it can be a particular shape.
And these
That's
symbols
the
have
are.
Come through.
And they come through, yes.
Okay.
So what we do is we draw them into our hands, but we're attuned into our aura. It's basically attuned and comes through
yeah.
us. And what we do is then use the symbols by drawing them into our hands, or you can actually picture them. And place them on the client. They don't need to know all that side of it.
Yeah, it just
works. They have a powerful thing. It's just amazing, yeah.
And it works. And they've written a book as well, haven't
yes,
they?
Yes, they have now. Which
has come out. Which explains it, really, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's got everything in the book. It's got all the symbols and how you can use them, even if you haven't been atoned. We called it an atonement. If you haven't been atoned, you can still work with the symbols. And people have actually said it's worked really well.
Fantastic. What I want to do is I want to go on and talk a little bit about your motivations because you've written a book of poetry, haven't you? And you've had a pretty harrowing time, and that's been the instigator for writing that book. So tell us a little bit about what pushed you to write a book of poetry.
Okay, well, it did actually. One of the major significant events that happened in my life was actually 21 years ago. I was 22 years old. I found a lump in my neck when I was pregnant with my daughter. I was about 7 months pregnant, and I actually thought the lump was something to do with glands. So I didn't tell anyone. I thought, I won't say anything until I've had my baby. And then I thought it would disappear, because I had no idea about cancer or tumours or anything like that. When I had Melissa, the lump was still there. So I went to my GP. He examined me and said, I think it's non-Hodgkin's disease. And I didn't know what that was, so I still didn't realise. And he said, well, we're going to send you to the specialist at Guy's Hospital in London. So I said, OK. So within 2 weeks, I got a letter, I went to the hospital. I was sitting in the corridors in the oncology department, and I still didn't understand what oncology was or anything like that. Nobody mentioned the word cancer. I saw the specialist and he said non-Hodgkin's again, which no one explained what it was, but actually it was better that I didn't know. So they said, we need to get you into hospital and do a biopsy. So they did this biopsy, and I waited 3 days and I still didn't realise.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they came in the room after 3 days, the doctor and a consultant, and said, you have a tumour. And I thought that was it, because I had no idea that you could recover from something like that. So I remember looking out of the window in the hospital and thinking, that's it. I'm never going to see past these buildings outside.
Would.
It was pretty shocking. For a fleeting moment, it was like, that's it. And then I thought, I'm never going to see my baby grow up and not see my mum and dad and my family. And then they turned around and said, you've got a 90% chance of survival. It was like, they probably told me that within a few seconds, but it seemed like quite a long time of thinking.
I'm sure.
That's it. And all those thoughts came through very quickly.
And that was how long ago?
21 years ago.
Wow.
What
happened, I mean, after you were told this shocking news, what after the initial shock, what were your thoughts? Did you think, I've got to make the best of what I've got? Or did you sort of immediately get thrown into a much deeper sort of realm, so to speak, and that's how your poetry book evolved?
When they told me that I had the 90% chance of survival, that was when I thought, that's it, I can live and I'm going to fight this. And I knew that was it, I was going to live. That was it, just fight for my life.
Yeah.
So it kind of kicks in almost inside you, and you think there's this inner drive or something, some strength that comes from within. And I thought, even though it was a hard journey, because I had chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and it did go on for a long time to get better after that as well, I feel it was just a motivation, something to live, because you thought you were going to die. So you're just so glad to live and be happy that you had a chance.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely fantastic to have that, you know.
Was it a major shift in your way of looking at life?
Yeah, because you
really
don't. Well, I realised that no matter how much money, if I had any money at the time, which I didn't really, but if I had have had money, I knew that would never do anything. Having material things was nothing to me at that point. It was nothing. It was the family, the friends, your children, or the people close to you that really is important.
Really mattered. I'm going to take a little tiny break. I'm going to play a little bit of sort of spiritual music, a bit of the Buddha Lounge here with a track called Indigo, and then we're going to hear some of your poetry,
yeah,
which
you.
Is going to
That'd
be very
great.
Lovely. Oh, very nice, appropriate, gentle music for us this morning. If you've just joined me, my guest in the studio is Liz Everett. She's a... I always have difficulty saying this. Reiki.
Yeah.
Reiki master, Anusha healer, counsellor, and a poet as well. And it's poetry that we're going to talk about now, because you've written this book called
An Inner Light That Shines So Bright.
Fantastic. And lovely picture on the front I see there as well. When was that published?
Well, it was in 2009, Christmas, actually.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago.
And it's a collection of poetry.
It's a heartwarming collection of inspirational writings. They're all uplifting, meaningful and powerful pieces of writing.
And people use it to connect and heal and...
Yes.
You say you use it with your healing as
yes.
well. How does that work?
Well, when I first started writing, I was writing them and putting them on cards, and then people were coming to me for a healing session. But when they talked to me about some problems, I'd sort of get the idea that one of the poems I'd written was the words that were in there would be helping them to resonate with and helping them to find their sense of direction and maybe moving them forward. And they're very uplifting as well and inspirational, so I thought it would help them.
Yeah.
So I'd give them a poem, but I always knew which one was the right one at the time. And that's how it started before I published the book.
So you're going to read us.
Yeah, I'd love to. That's what I really love doing.
So come on, let's hear
yeah.
one of these
oh,
poems, because okay. we want to know what they're like.
Okay, well, the first one is a lovely one I thought would be nice for... particularly people that are in hospital. It's quite a nice visualising one as well. So it's just a short one, but I thought it'd be really nice. It's called Encountered Dreams. The orchestra played a beautiful tune that brought tears to my eyes and a flutter to my heart. The symphony struck a chord in me that filled my mind with visions of scenes that encountered my dreams. Of special times I've had when I played in the sea and the water would be cleansing me and the sun would be high and the breeze would flow by caressing my back and warm me through the summer hue where the skies are always blue.
That's lovely.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Fantastic. And how many poems are in the book
There's
in total?
161 in this one.
Cool.
Exactly.
In this one?
In this one
is there
book,
a new
yeah.
one?
I have.
Way?
I've got so many poems now, because since I've written this book for 2 years, I've been writing every day virtually. There must be hundreds now. So I've got enough for probably two more books, but I've got my favourite, so I really want to publish another one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you get good feedback? People come back to you and say, I love the book. And...
Yeah, they're really great. I mean, I've had so much support, but people are really touched by the poetry, and they said that's really helped them in a lot of ways, because I've put all my feelings, thoughts and emotions into all the words, and it's everything I've gone through, but... I haven't actually necessarily told them exactly, but I've talked about pain, but it's always been that there's something good at the end
hope
of it.
Hope at the hope end
at
of the
end.
Tunnel, yes.
And they're very comforting as well.
Absolutely. So that's how it's a healing process for you as well.
Yeah, it has
writing
been.
Them.
Well, when I was writing them, I realised that they contain powerful messages that could help other people, but obviously it was doing it for me as well at the same time.
Brilliant.
So,
right, so you're going to read
got
us another
one.
One.
Yeah, really yeah. nice one, I thought. So I've written them all down, the ones I wanted to read.
Okay.
Okay. This one's called Don't Fight the Stormy Seas. I'd love to go back to a time when sailors wore their caps and captains had the eye for steering the ship, keeping their crew safe under their watchful eye. The women don't deny that they miss their beloveds as the ship sails by. They are proud to be the wives of sailors who have courage and strength to honour their country. Waving frantically at the docks, the ship steers out on its course, ready to embark on its journey. We too have our journey across the seas, facing challenges and obstacles to test our strengths to deal with life. So like the sea, a calm day when it's settled and a gentle breeze cools the air. Or a stormy day when the wind is high, emotions running high, the waves bashing to and fro, don't you know it doesn't have to be this way? So go with the currents, don't fight the other way. It makes the journey smoother this way. Then you will see the horizon when the sun sets in the sky and the birds glide beautifully above you.
Wow. Not about sailing at all, really, then.
No, it's about your... Yeah. Well, it's kind of... I reflected it through the way of talking about the boat and going out to sea, and then it's our emotions inside.
Of course. So you can sort of read it on two levels.
Yeah, definitely. There. That's what I always do when I'm writing. It's kind of reflecting of everything that's around me, and the nature is what I really found very healing, and that's how I found solace in, like, trying to work out things for myself. And I found that nature was really comforting when I walked in nature. So
absolutely.
And the sea, definitely water, all those things.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Very powerful stuff on the show this morning, and I'm very, very pleased that you've
come in.
What's your plans for the future?
Okay.
Another book?
Yes, I'm writing... I have all the poems ready, so it's a matter of when I decide to actually go for it and get it all in the book, because when I did this book, it took me 6 weeks from the time that I'd finished all the poetry to actually get the book together, but it was 6 weeks of kind of every single day. So I'm waiting to sort of find the right time to do that again, because I know it'll be all out to go for it.
And you've also got a website where you take clients on that you heal and, you know, use...
I do all the healing.
You know, all the poems and and the Reiki and stuff.
Yes.
So what is that website, just so that anybody listening can check you out?
Yes, website. It's www.ladybirdlodge, or one word, .me.uk.
Okay, and that's where people can find out a bit more about you.
Definitely.
The name of the book again?
And the name of the book is An Inner Light That Shines So Bright, and it's available on Amazon and on my publisher's website, which is Livit Publishing. But if you go on my website, all the details are on there anyway. So
okay. Fantastic. Yeah. It's been lovely having
Thank you.
Wish you all the best with the future. And it's great that you're healthy now. That's really, really great. We're going to end with a little one by Adele called Someone Like You. And take care of yourself,
Liz. Thank you, Mandy.
And
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. So shy, ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind. Sometimes it hurts instead. since day eight. You know how the time flies, only yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you say. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best. Sometimes it hurts instead.